In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
To the one who is able to change anyone, the only wise God, the fountain of wisdom. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. We give you all the praise as a house of faith. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we start tonight, I just want you to begin to count your blessings and say, Lord, I count you faithful. I count you faithful. If you don't have anything to thank God for, you can pray in tongues. But I know that God has been faithful. Lift your voice and tell him thank you. Don't be ungrateful. For the light, the psalmist said, if the Lord had not been on my side, now may Israel say. Lift your voice and give him all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, the doer of miracles in our midst, the mighty God, the one who is doing wonders, glorious in holiness, fearful in the praises of men, doing wonders. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You have not left us without a witness. We give you all the glory. Yes, Lord, we give you praise.
I worship you, great I am. You are mighty in this place. I worship you.
You're the strong and breasted one.
You are the strong and breasted one.
I worship you, great I am.
I worship you, great I am.
You are mighty in this place.
You are mighty in this place. I worship you. You are the strong and breasted one. I lift my hands in worship as I sing praises to your name.
My hands.
I lift my hands in worship as I sing praises to your name. I lift my hands in worship as I sing praises to your name.
Can you hear help me with that song, worship him.
Oh yeah. Otironge tikagi onye. We sing to your name, O God. Onye, onye. Otironge tikagi onye. Onye, onye, onye. We sing to your name, O God. You've done for me what no one else will do. Ibela, Otironge tikagi. You've done for me, Lord. Hey, what no one else will do, Lord. I say, Ibela, Otironge, Otironge. You've done for me, you've done for me, Lord. What no one else, Ibela, Otironge, Otironge. You've done for me, Lord. What no one else to do, Ibela, 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 Otironge. Come on, lift the word and say, oh yeah, oh yeah.
ekeledi wiki onye neme mba onye tikagi ekeledi wiki onye na waria onye tikagi ekeledi wiki onye neme mba onye tikagi ekeledi wiki onye na great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations. You are the joy of the whole world, and you are the great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, and beautiful in all situations. Hey, you are the joy of, I say you are the great and so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations. You are the joy of the whole world. I say you are the great and mighty God. So greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations.
Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Honor you for that which you will do tonight. Let your word flow freely in this place. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please hug and greet one another and then be seated. God bless you. Say hello to everyone. Make sure you are greeting someone. There should be someone at your right and left, or at least one of the sides. So say hello to someone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. We thank the Lord for what he's doing in our midst. We give him all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's get to work. Please bring out your pen, notepad, whatever you have to write. There is a lot to cover. God is in a hurry to announce you, and so we have to finish the curriculum so fast. Trust me, I'm not motivating you. God is in a hurry to let the world see what he has made out of you. The Bible says that we are objects of praise. When an artist finishes designing a work, he brings it out, and then everybody keeps looking at the work, and it describes the excellence of that artist. Hallelujah. Jesus, we give you praise. How many of us here are very confident about what God is doing in our lives? You are not guessing. You know that you are walking accurately. This is not guess again. This is not trial and error. If I will be great, if God will bless me, or if my father is this. One of the things that I believe we have come to respect in this place are the laws of the kingdom. Everybody say the laws of the kingdom. The laws of the kingdom are a revelation of the love of God to mankind, so that your success in life or your failure becomes absolutely dependent on you and not on God.
And if you take responsibility for your life, listen to me please, if you take responsibility, I assure you, no power in existence. You know, some of them said, if you know where I come from and all of that, the only way to prevail over the wickedness that exists in this realm is to pay attention to the laws of the kingdom. They were designed to cripple Satan. There are two ways to bind the devil. One is by prayer, another is by knowledge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight I'll be sharing on something very powerful, building on what I taught last week. If you've not listened to last week's message, please listen again and again. I think I've listened to it about 2 times or so. Extraordinary success. This is very important. This is not, listen, let me clarify something. Hold on. This is not this success thing. You know, there's a way people behave about success. You know that this is foolishness. This is madness going nowhere. Right? Oh, I'll be successful in this and that, things will change and people jump and gyrate. And at the end of the service, you ask the person, how was the service? Say, what? I cannot even explain. You ask the person now, so what did you learn? And what new decision are you going to make as a result of what you've learned? Say, I don't know, but I just feel it in my body. Something has happened. You will never be successful that way. Christianity is not being fetished. Are you getting my point? God makes you anointed and he builds you with content. There are many people with good experiences. Oh, we fell down, we got up. Wonderful. But if there is no content inside of you, you are going nowhere. Absolutely. So it's not enough to fall down and say, I was shaking. I couldn't describe why my right hand was just moving alone. Wonderful. Unfortunately, it doesn't give you a job. Unfortunately, it doesn't make you great. That is a spiritual experience communicating something. We're not neglecting the operations of the spirit. But you must have content. Tell your neighbor, have content. Praise the Lord. So God is giving us wisdom. God is giving us keys that will distinguish us. Let's go to work tonight. Father, thank you. Tonight's teaching seeks to open us up to the dynamics of greatness. I want to share with us in detail how God announces men and how God makes men great. It's not just you will be great. I want to show you how it happens. Praise the Lord. And I want you to follow me because, you know, I sense in my spirit, I've been saying this thing like the Ark of Noah, that I know that it will happen this year, that a season is coming and is going to be so fast what the Lord is going to do. Remember the scripture I shared with us that the Lord told me, thou will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Hallelujah. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting my head. Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
I thank you for lifting my head. Hallelujah. Ah! What you will hear tonight will so bless you. No. Don't shout amen. It's something I'm about to start teaching. You know, sometimes these things scatter my head. You know how someone takes... All of you who were in the world, who God delivered you and ransomed you from all kinds of nonsense. You know? Praise the Lord. You see a madman on the road alone and he's just singing and bouncing. Even if he's inside a gutter, he's just singing and in his mind, he's in a world all by himself. That's what the word of God does. He said, I found your word and I did eat them and it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. He said, my son, eat thou honey, for it is good for you. Eat thou honey. There is what you can know. You don't need anything to happen physically. Are you getting my point? It's like a farmer who plants, pastor. You don't plant a tree and then you come and you are wondering. You are so anxious. People look at you and you say, ah, will this thing grow? No. The man just goes to start buying bags in preparation because he knows that the ground was commanded to produce.
Are you getting my point? So there are things that when you know, you start rejoicing and dancing, because for it not to manifest is like saying Jesus didn't die on the cross. Is that guaranteed? Hallelujah. Let's get to the word of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. What is the secret of greatness? What does it even mean to be great, really? What does it mean to be great? You know, we talk about greatness. What does it mean to be great? Because we have to understand, in the kingdom, what does it mean to be great? Hallelujah. To be great means to have an enlarged sphere of influence. To have an enlarged sphere of influence. He said, thou shall increase my greatness. An enlarged sphere of influence. To be great means to have increased access. To be great means to have increased access. Access to anything. Resources, people. Please make sure you write. To be great means to have what? Increased sphere of influence. And it also means to have increased access. Access to whatever. Resources, people, opportunities. Hallelujah. And why is greatness important in the kingdom? We must get this. You know, everything we discuss with respect to the kingdom. Why is it necessary? Listen, do not let anybody preach you out of the sincere desire to be great. Because sometimes in a bid to show that we are Christians, we say, Lord, please don't make me great. Let me not fall into sin. Let me not do this. Kingdom advancement is highly dependent on kingdom influence. It takes greatness and influence to enforce the kingdom. You must understand this. No one will truly be able to influence this system and bring in the value system of the kingdom without increase, without influence and greatness. The Bible says, and the boy Jesus, for him to be able to carry out his assignment, he had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in what? Stature. Not just the word stature there does not mean physical growth. No. The word stature there means influence. A time came in the life of Jesus. They said, all men seek for thee. He was on the mountain and 5,000 men, aside women and children, came. Everybody say influence. It is very important to understand the components that the prophetic agenda of God is dependent upon, so that we will not just be religious. Now, there are people who want to be great just because they have suffered too much. While that is not a wrong reason, it does not qualify to be an ultimate motivation when you come into the kingdom. To say, I've suffered too much, I must be great in life. That's ambitious, it's wonderful. Except for the fact that when you come into the kingdom, you must edit your motive to suit the desire of the king. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be great. Without greatness, listen, without greatness, he told Abraham, he said, I will make your name. I will give you an identity of greatness. And that greatness will call the attention of the kings and the people around, and they will come to see what your God is doing. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain of the Lord's house, have you read that scripture? The mountain of the Lord's house shall do what? Be exalted above all other mountains. And as a result, men will flow to it. Until the mountain is exalted, men cannot flow to it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It is easy to listen to a great man than to listen to a man who is struggling with greatness. Is that true? So the Lord wants to increase our greatness. Our greatness in every ramification. Financially, spiritually, and otherwise. Oh, I receive what he wants to give. I receive it. No religion would preach me out of this. No piety, no sense of false holiness will push me out of the revelation. It is as a result of my love for the King that I need to gain an influence across the mountains that he has given me the authority to legislate, so that they will hear the word of the Lord.
Distant shores and the islands will see your light.
Don Moen got it precisely. That's what will happen to you.
Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Thank you, Jesus Christ. So what is the secret of greatness? How? I know that we keep, you know, the issue I have with the body of Christ is that we do a lot of preaching, but we do very little of teaching. You know what it means to preach? To preach means to declare. It means to proclaim. It means to bring you into an awareness of a reality. That's what it means to preach. But to teach means to give you understanding of the operation of that thing. Hallelujah. That's the challenge with the body of Christ. We do a lot of preaching. God wants to make you great. How many of you believe you are going to be great? Say me. Say now, lift up your hands. Be great. And the person says, amen. That's preaching. Wonderful preaching. Except for the fact that it does not work like that in the kingdom. That's not how your lecturer taught you. He didn't come to the class and say, how many of you are interested in having a degree? He says, sir, me, oh me, I've been writing jam. And he says, are you serious? I say, all right, this course is yours. No, you don't behave like that. Hallelujah. You sit down through seasons of dealings that will prune you. You will cry through the rain, but you will remain there for the excellency of something that is greater than your pain. Hallelujah. How come life teaches us an obvious way to be great, but when it comes to the kingdom, we don't pay attention to the teaching of the word? Carry a weak 100 level student, pastor, as weak as whatever, sit that student down for 6 years under a medical curriculum and you produce a doctor. Bold enough to confront sicknesses and diseases. The same person who will see someone 6 years ago convulse and be confused and not know what to do. 6 years later, he's seen someone convulsing, and while everybody is moving, he says, no, I know what to do. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge keeps you in charge. So what other people are running away from, you stand. You say, I'm not ignorant. I know exactly what to do. The Bible says Jesus himself knew what to do. May you know what to do in this life. It's dangerous not to know what to do. When the devil throws sickness, may you know what to do. When poverty attempts to come, may you know what to do. When death and all these things that kill men, if you don't know what to do, it will kill you. Don't let anybody preach you out of this truth. It's on the strength of what you know that you reign in this life. It says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. And he made two great lights, one to rule in the day and the other to rule in the night. When you have that light, you will rule both in the day and the night. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Say after me, God wants me to be great for the sake of his kingdom. Say it again, God wants me to be great for the sake of the kingdom. And I choose to cooperate with him. I made some very interesting discoveries. One of my goals in life is not to waste my time on earth. One of my very personal goals in life is that I'm not going to join the crowd of people wasting their time on this is how they do it. This is how they do it. I choose to be like the Bereans. The Bible says they sat down to find out how is this thing done. So you don't waste 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years of your life. Then you find out that you've been making a mistake for 60 years and you have to go back and begin to undo your life. Hallelujah. There are people who have time
but they do not have the knowledge and the information to make them great. By the time they spend all the time in their dying days, they get the knowledge, but there is no time to put it to work. You have time, and God is granting you knowledge. Take advantage of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret to greatness in the kingdom is encapsulated in one word. And I know you've heard that word, but tonight, just keep away what you've heard and listen, and let's explore the word. The secret of greatness in the kingdom is hidden in one word, and that word is called favor. Write it down. We're going to be exploring something tonight. The secret of greatness in the kingdom is shrouded in one word: favor. Open our eyes tonight in the name of Jesus. Bring the days of struggling to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret to greatness in the kingdom is favor. What is favor? Favor means access beyond your efforts. When you gain access beyond your efforts. Many of us have had a lot of messages about favor, but many of them have not been balanced. And so we know so much about favor, but we see very little or none of it in our lives. Hallelujah. The first thing I want you to know about favor is that favor is not a mystery. This is one of the things we have been taught by well-meaning people, that favor in the kingdom, the fact that it is undeserved does not mean it cannot be activated. Thank you, Jesus. Favor means access beyond your efforts. It means divine approval, unmerited access. Favor is unmerited, but it must be activated to work in your life. So many of us have been taught that somehow in the journey of your life, favor just finds its way to your life. You may wait forever and never see that favor. Although it is unmerited, there are laws that activate its coming. It is the operation, the dispensing of favor that you cannot explain. And I will tell you why. But the initiation and the maintenance of that realm of favor is absolutely predictable. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Is someone getting blessed already? The Bible teaches us that there are two levels of favor. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Please, let's have it. If you can have it in Amplified. If there's no Amplified, no problem. I want to hurry up because I want to dwell on certain things. This is just an introduction. There are two levels of favor, or two dimensions to favor, as revealed in the word of God. Okay, let's just open up so we can hurry up. I don't want us to wait here too long tonight. Okay, please just look up so we'll hurry up. Everyone, let's read. One, two, read. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in with and favor with who? And so the Bible shows us that there are two levels of favor. Please get this. There is favor with God. Everybody write. And there is favor with men. And these two levels operate on different sets of laws. It is absolutely possible to have favor with God and not have favor with men. And it is absolutely possible to have favor with men and not have favor with God. Someone getting blessed tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Favor with God and favor with men.
since we have established that the key, the secret to greatness in the kingdom is favor. Everybody say, the secret to my greatness is favor. Say it convincingly. The secret to my greatness is favor. Hallelujah. Oh, how true. How true. You neglect this truth to your own detriment. Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Hope is rising for someone tonight. So let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. How do you secure favor with God? This is the first part. Let's discuss it very quickly. How do you secure favor with God? We are being very mathematical in our approach this night. So the secret to greatness is favor. We're examining that subject since that is the key that holds our greatness in the kingdom. And we have seen that according to Luke 2:52, there is favor with God and favor with men. So how do we secure favor with God? Number one, you want favor with God, you need three keys. The first key is that you must have the fear of the Lord. Please don't make a mistake about this. You want favor with God. The first requirement. Are you seeing now that favor with God is not free? Huh? I get very, very disturbed at the gospel that makes believers irresponsible. Just makes them believe that everything can just happen like that. No, sir. If everything just happens like that, God has to apologize to the little children and the countries that die. Is that true? If it was entirely God that controls the distribution of wealth, then God will have to apologize as to why a terrorist group will be so rich and a ministry will be so broke. Are you getting my point now? The heaven of heavens is the Lord, but the Bible says the earth has he given to the sons of men. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Media, you help us please. We need a lot of speed here. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. You must possess the fear of the Lord. You want to secure favor with God. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Let's just use King James, except where we went from before, so that we rush. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You want to be wise? You want to walk in wisdom? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It takes wisdom for you to even explore the mysteries of the kingdom. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what gives you that access. That's where your journey begins. Everybody say the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear God? It doesn't mean to run away from God. To fear God means to have respect. You can replace that word fear with the word reverence and loyalty. It doesn't mean to run away from him. No. The fear of the Lord means to have respect. Hallelujah.
I will reverence you, Lord. I will reverence you, Lord. I will reverence you, Lord. For presence, there is life everlasting. I will reverence you, Lord.
Listen, can Can I tell you something? In the body of Christ, many people believe in Jesus, but very few people have respect for him. It's possible to believe a man and not respect that man. Is that true? You can believe in your boss. There's nothing you can do. Open the door of your office, he's the one sitting there. So you believe he's your boss. But there is this reverence, honor, respect. Let's look at something. The Bible says in Psalm 25 verse 14. He said the secret things of the Lord are not with them that pray in tongues. Not with Christians. Not with those who fall under the anointing. Not with prophets. Not with apostles. The secret things of the Lord are not even with them who have faith. The secret things of the Lord. The things of the Lord are with many people. But the secret things, the hallowed bread of the Spirit, they are with them that fear him. He said, as a result, he will show them. He never said the things of the Lord. There are many things, but the secret. Every great man has secret. It takes only a fool to share everything to everybody. You don't do that. You don't have visitors come into your house and your mother says, come, let me even show you. We bought a new mattress. Come inside our bedroom. No. Hallelujah. But there are certain people, because of the depth of reverence, maybe a worker in the house who respects that man. The person can even have sons that are irresponsible, but he will call a house help into his bedroom and say, let me show you something. The secret things. There are chambers in the spirit, my brother, and everywhere is not accessible to everyone. Although we are in the kingdom, the secrets of the Lord. He said, I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book. The book is there, but it's not everybody who opens it. Hallelujah. The clearest proof of your reverence for God is to keep his commands. I want to give you a spiritual litmus test. And let's look at that very quickly in John 14 verse 21. John 14, 21. The clearest proof. Don't just say, I fear God. No, there are exact parameters to measure. I love the kingdom. It doesn't leave you to confusion. You can know here and now, right now. I don't care whether you've been a preacher for 20 years. I don't care whether you cry if any song is being raised. The Bible says, he that hath my what? So it's one thing to have it. Is that true? And does what? And keepeth them. He it is that loves me, that has respect and reverence for me. And as a result, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Is that in your scripture? That means God is saying, I will come, I will reveal dimensions to him. He that obeys me is he that loves me. It's not enough to just say, I love you, I fear you. There are so many believers, talk is cheap. First John 5 verse 3. The Bible gives us another very clear test. First John 5 verse 3. Oh, shibakata labakorasida baladabai. Somebody is changing in the name of Jesus. First John 5 verse 3. Can we read together? One to read. For this is the what? Love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the Bible says his commandments are not burdensome. The word grievous there is the word burdensome. Hallelujah. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His commands are not burdensome. Please don't let anybody fool you. There are laws in the kingdom. I've said it. These things are, it's not the law of Old Testament. They are the laws that give structure to the kingdom. The laws of the kingdom are like the skeleton in a man's body. That's what gives form and structure in the kingdom. Hallelujah. You must have the fear of the Lord. You must have the spirit of reverence. So I can look at your life and know whether you fear God or not. Hallelujah. Don't say, I fear God by faith. Even him, he knows. There are exact parameters. You're not walking in his ways. You're not living by his principles and his value system. Don't tell me you fear God when you don't know the difference between church and a disco hall. Believers don't, in this side of God's kingdom, are not so involved in all those things again. But there are all kinds of things we do. And we believe. Listen, please, and I don't mean this to discredit ministers and ministries in the body of Christ, but I've said it again and again that the message of grace is only an accurate message if it is accepted as part of the full gospel. Are you getting my point? The whole gospel must be preached. There is a level to which the grace message is taught and just tells you, don't concentrate on your love for God, concentrate on his love for you, and concentrate on all of that, and you know, anything will happen, everything has been done, wonderful. What then is the reward of obedience? Why then is there hellfire? If everything is like that, God must apologize to Ananias and Sapphira. Don't you think so? Was it not in the New Testament they fell down and they died? Why? Couldn't he have at least given them a chance? Maybe they will repent later on. How could a loving God make the lake of fire? Hallelujah. Seven churches in the book of Revelation, when God began to talk to them, he was focused on their works. I know your works. I know your works. Is that in your Bible? Brothers and sisters, be careful. Hallelujah. Honor the body of Christ, but you must realize that if the gospel is not taught holistically, it can lead people into error. There are a lot of people missing it and dancing around in ignorance, believing. Are you getting my point? Let me share with you something that will surprise you. D.L. Moody. Many of you have read about him, right? D.L. Moody was a mighty evangelist of God, and he came and preached for decades. When D.L. Moody died, sir, after 10 years, they decided to do a little census to follow up the converts of D.L. Moody. Please listen, this is not an exaggerated statement. Hallelujah. And they found out that only one out of 10 converts of D.L. Moody were still standing in the faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? I respect him. I honor him. Hallelujah. Look at such a great man. After laboring, they found out that most of the people who were coming out in his meetings, only one out of 10 remained safe and were still in the faith. We're not talking of people who build ministries. Those who were still eligible to make heaven according to the standards of the word of God. What happened to all the emotionalism that happened in those meetings? And then they took the same census for a man called Charles G. Finney. Hallelujah. And they found out most of the great men you see, most of the great men, they were products of that man's revival. When you got born again in his meeting, you hear everything that keeps you in the faith for life. Something is wrong with our gospel. It's not incorrect, but it's not complete either. There are missing sides that we must couple together. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. God is a loving God, but God is also a just God. Hallelujah. What I've just told you now is called the gospel of the kingdom. It switches dimension and lets you know that Jesus is not only a savior, but he is a king. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We have allowed people to do all kinds of things. There are believers today who have all kinds of pornography on their phones, their laptops. They watch it, and the moment the Holy Spirit wants to convict them, they say, I'll never feel guilty. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Tomorrow they go back and do it again. Somebody goes, come on now, you trust me, I love you too much not to tell you the truth. People sleep around and do all kinds of things, and yes, God is a forgiving God. There is a difference between a challenge in your life and the spirit of rebellion at work in your life. Rebellion is a perpetual, willful, continual state of violating God's principles, and the consequence is hellfire. I don't care whether you're a pastor or whether you are whatever. Please take what I'm saying seriously. Hallelujah. Paul, the one who brought what we know as the Pauline epistles, if his gospel was so pleasant, I have a question, why did they stone him?